just appreciate what God is doing. I'd just like to read a couple of scriptures, and I just feel just in line with some of the testimonies tonight and with my own testimony and a few of the things that I'd like to bring in a little while. In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, the second verse, it says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I don't know how that relates to anybody in this body, but I know that we found ourselves in a position back in Wisconsin where, as we were laboring and trying to move in the Lord in our own efforts and doing the work, having patience, producing many of the things that we see in this scripture, but nevertheless, we begin to find that our relationship with the Lord had lessened. We got busy. Things in life begin to take up our time. We became so involved with the things of God that we didn't find the time to come into that relationship with God. Now, I know that's a common problem. And I know, I don't know a lot about people in this assembly, but I know there are a few. Some that we know personally, and I'm sure there are others, that have come to a place in their lives where it seems like that the Lord is off somewhere in the distance. And I know that's what happened to me. And I wanted the Lord, and I knew that there was a way to have him, and I knew I could have a good relationship, but there was a separation between us. And it was something that was hard to put my finger on. I couldn't say, well, the Lord doesn't love me, or I'm not working for him, or I'm not serving him, but there was a separation. And one day, a month and a half ago, I suppose, as God began to move in our church, and he didn't start with me, and that's offensive to the flesh. And as a matter of fact, another one began to experience something in God, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And I came to a conclusion one day that the last one that the Lord was going to touch was me, if at all. And I kind of got a little bit discouraged, but I will tell you something. That didn't happen that way. Suddenly one day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I found something happening. I found a renewed relationship that I desired. I longed for it. I hungered for it. But I got to such a weak spot that I didn't even know how to call out and get this thing renewed in my relationship. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And if there's anyone in the assembly that has got to a place where they're so busy with the things of God, believe me, God is faithful. And if God can restore that relationship in me, and if you lack it, God can restore it in you. And he's not a respecter of persons. And tonight, I'd like to have the elders that have come with me, those that are going to minister, not all of them are going to testify. They're going to share some testimonies. I'd like to have them come and set up in the front and then just come up and share. And before they come and share, I'd like to just mention a couple of things. And I'd like to ask if Brother Simon, this is Ron Lee's father, if he'd come up and just lead us in prayer tonight in the rest of the things and what the elders have to say, and also as God moves. I don't know the needs of the body. I'm not in the position that your pastor is, and so I don't know what the needs are, but I do know one thing. I know that God has never let me down. I know he never lets us down. And so whatever he's going to do, he's going to do if we give him opportunity. And so tonight, I'd like to, we've discovered a few things as God has been moving. One of the things is that many of us have tried to pray our way into a relationship that only came by loving Jesus. We've gotten down on our faces and we've pounded the altar and we've beat on the chairs and we've bruised our knuckles and we've come up with nothing. And one day, as God began to move upon us, a revelation came and he says, you know, that's not really a way to love me. That's not really accomplishing that much. I appreciate your prayers, and I don't know, I don't know what the dialogue was on the other side, but we weren't accomplishing and getting results. And so what we did is we just learned to just rest or just begin to pray or to, I don't know how to word it. We begin to love him. And we begin to say the name of Jesus. And we begin to just say, Jesus, just come and just do that work in me. Just love me, Jesus. I just want that love. I want to be reinstated, renewed in my first love relationship. Because other things of this life have become so important that I can't find that relationship I desire. And I know that there's a great desire in us. It's in our church. It's in this body. We want to come into a fullness. We want to have everything God's got for us. And so as we begin to love the Lord and just sit in His presence and not, you know, come up with a lot of great dissertations and theological explanations and reasonings and all of these things. We just simply, as a little child, begin to love Him. God begin to love us in return with great, tremendous blessings upon us. And I would say if there's anything that we've done that has encouraged the love relationship, it's been that. We've just kind of got out of the way. And we've just loved Him. And so I'd like to ask if Simon would come up. Maybe our elders would come up. I'd like to ask them to share. They would sit in the first pew and one by one come up and share what's happened. And then I'd like to bring some things. And this, I'd like to say, as Simon prays tonight, that we would prepare our hearts to receive whatever God has. I don't know what God has for you. I'm not even sure what He has for me. All I know is that in the course of time, just recently, that God has done such a miracle in my life that I'm standing up here somebody different. I walked into a little room one day and came out somebody else. You know what I mean? That kind of a situation, and I have to give the Lord the glory. I've done nothing to deserve it. Praise the Lord. So let's tonight, as Simon leads us in prayer, let's just invite the Lord in the simplest way that we know how. As a love relationship, just to come in, and maybe Simon has something along that line. He can testify at the same time.
Hallelujah. You know, if I could tonight, I would just take each and every one of you into my arms, and I'd just turn around and hand you over to Jesus. And I'd say, Jesus, love Him. Just love Him. Just love Him. But I can't do it. But Jesus can. Hallelujah. He wants to love you and love you and love you and love you. He just wants to pour it in and pour it in and pour it in. Hallelujah. You know, there's 1,000 reasons why I should love Him, but not one. No reason at all why He should love me. And I just love Him so much tonight. And I appreciate Him so much. He's done so much in my life that I can't even begin to express. But oh, I just ask Him tonight to love you. That's all He wants. He wants your love. And everything that He has for you is because He loves you. He loves you so very much tonight. So very, very much. And He wants to come upon you and just wash you in His love. Just let His love be a refining fire. Hallelujah. That will wash you clean. That will sweep out every area of your heart. Every corner of it. He'd like to do that tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray right now that You just take each and every one here tonight in Your arms. Jesus, just take them in Your arms and love them. Put Your arms around them and love them mightily. Just love them, Lord, until their hearts are thrilled, until their hearts burn within them. Lord, that they might be brought to that wonderful, wonderful love relationship with You, that intimate place in You, Jesus. Oh, where they can love You with all of their hearts, with all their strength, with all their minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just love each one here tonight, Jesus. Oh, just be everything that everyone needs tonight. It's all in You, Jesus. All in You. You're just all that we want. You're all that we need. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just love you tonight. Oh, you're just so precious, so wonderful, so sweet. Your love is to be desired above all things. Your love is just so sweet. My soul is thrilled. And I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I stand before you tonight as a wonderful miracle of God's grace. And I'd like to tell you what God has done in my life, to share it with you that perhaps someone here can identify with what I've gone through. And it will encourage you to reach out for Jesus. Now, I've always had a desire for God as long as I can remember. Born in a Pentecostal family, began serving Jesus when I was 16 years of age. And I've always had a hunger for Him. But I found that this old flesh is a barrier, and it holds you back from what God really wants you to be. Many times I cried out to God, Lord, I want to love you. I just want to be that man that you want me to be. I just want to please your heart. I want to love you. I always thought that in order to really and truly have a great love for Him, you had to be at death's door, or some great calamity had to come into your life. Because I saw men that were being used of God that seemed to love the Lord so much, and I saw a lot of sorrow and heartache in their life. I said, Jesus, is it that way for me? Do I have to go through all that sorrow and heartache and catastrophes in order to love you? And for many years, I had that concept. But that isn't right. Hallelujah, because we can all love Him. We can love Him for what He is. Hallelujah. And I sought God and cried and prayed and fasted for many weeks. And I pounded the altar and I cried and cried and cried. But seemingly I could get nowhere. Oh, there was a measure of blessings. But seemingly I couldn't get into that place with the Lord that I wanted. And this old flesh kept dragging me down. And I found that I didn't love Him. I couldn't say, I love you, Jesus. I love you. And let it just thrill me from my toes to the top of my head. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I never could. January the 3rd of this year, Keith's brother was over sharing with me what God was doing and the strange things that were beginning to happen. Very strange. And as he was talking to me, the Spirit of God came upon me. My, what's this? What's this? And it stayed night after night, day after day. Oh, hallelujah. It became an abiding thing within me and upon me and around me. And you know, I hadn't been praying. I hadn't been really diligently seeking God. But the Lord saw my heart. And he had heard me cry, and he knew the longing of my heart. He knew what I wanted more than anything else in the world was to love him. In the middle of the night, I would wake up and the Spirit of God would just be moving mightily through me. Sometimes I got by with 2, 3, 4 hours sleep and I got up refreshed because God was just moving so mightily. Everywhere I went, it was just God just moving and just moving and moving. I didn't understand what it was, but you know what it did for me? The Lord just began to wash away all those things in my life. Just begin to clean out my heart. He just swept and cleaned and washed. Oh, hallelujah. Until there was just absolutely nothing left. And I said, Lord, you just take it all. Just take and strip everything away from me. Everything, Jesus, but your presence. I had gotten the taste of his presence and I didn't want to leave it. Oh, hallelujah. Once you're in the presence of Jesus and you walk in the Spirit, nothing, absolutely nothing else will ever satisfy you. Oh, hallelujah. And by that work that God was doing in me, I made a new dedication to God that I'd never made before. I just turned my life over to Him and I said, yes, Jesus. Anything, anywhere, anytime. The things that I used to love just melted away. And I just turned it all over to Jesus, even the legitimate things. And I said, Jesus, they're yours. If you allow me to enjoy them, wonderful. But I don't love them anymore. I love you. And it just seemed like your pastor was preaching on a tape that you just want to sit in his presence and just love him. Seemingly, that's all I could do. I couldn't get interested in anything else. I couldn't read a newspaper. I couldn't watch the news on TV. I'd go shopping. I just couldn't get my mind on it. I just wanted to rush home and pray and love Jesus. He just changed my prayer life completely. Absolutely turned me around. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank Him for it tonight. I thank Him for it. And I know what God has done for me, He wants to do for you. He wants to do a great, great work in your heart. He wants to take away all those things out of your life until you can stand and raise your hand. You say, Jesus, I love you. I love you more than anything else in this world. I'm going to love you now and forever and forever and forever. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. First of all, I'd just like to share how much the gospel and song ministered to me last night in the service this morning. The Sunday school lesson especially ministered to my heart. Touched me and did a deep work within me today. Hallelujah. It's so good. I feel at home here. I really do. I feel at home here. We've received so much teaching. That's come back to Chippewa Falls from here. So many ones that have come back that have taught Ron and Terry Myrick and Roy and Margaret Siebold and Steve and Denise and various ones. Earl Failer came back for the summer. The ones that I can think of that have been back, that have ministered to us mightily. And God has used that, just used it tremendously back there. There's one thing that I'd like to share that I don't know if you really realize, but I think one of the things that helped so much, so mightily within this move that's been happening back there has been the teaching that we've received from here. The teaching that we've received from here, from Seattle, from Community Chapel. It's given us a feeling of protection, a feeling of security. When that feeling of security is there, you don't worry about all of these other things. They don't enter in. You just sit back and take your liberty and know that if you're going to be out of line, there's going to be somebody that's walking within the leadership that'll correct you, and all you need to do is just receive it and keep going on in God. We have a protection that God has given us, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I've come to know your pastor and his wife and the elders here, and I'm, praise God, a man after God's own heart. I know, and we've heard many of the things that have come against the chapel, and we've been praying back there. And I just think, oh, how thankful we are, and again, how thankful you should be for the ones that you have here that are leading you and guiding you. Praise God. Praise God. They're looking out for your souls. For your souls. I wanted to share something that happened within me in this move back there. And I probably, if anybody was a guilty one in this area, as God began to move mightily within people's lives, and I saw people changed and saw people that we've prayed about for years, God just done a work overnight, just like that, a work overnight in their hearts and changed. And yet I saw many things that were happening and many manifestations, and I knew that they were of God. I knew that they were of God. And yet there was something inside me that just, it was kind of a, it seemed like a protective thing. I was just, I was all uptight inside. I was so worried about something happening. I was so worried about us getting off into this, or so worried about us getting off into that. And I didn't want that. Don't you think we should watch out for this? And don't you think we should watch out for that? But oh God, God had given us a pastor, a leader, one to lead us and to guide us, that I needed to put complete faith in, knowing that God is leading him. God is, he sees those things. He sees those things that are happening. He knows, praise God. That protection is for me too. Praise God. But I want to tell you, this thing in my life being there was something that was there, just because I don't even know why, but it was something that hindered me from entering into the glory of God. Because it wasn't doubts. Believe me, it was not doubts in what was happening and what was happening in people's lives. But it was just the place of being uptight, worrying about what was happening. I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. But God knows all about what's happening. Praise God. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's ministering to us. He's the one that's doing that within our lives. Praise God. And you know, after I begin to realize that, the glory of God began to come down in my life and to set me free, praise God. And I haven't nearly begun to receive the freedom that I want to have in God, praise God, because it's like Simon said, it's just something when you get into it, you just don't want to leave it. You don't want to leave the presence of God, praise God. You want to stay in that place. I think as your pastor had mentioned before about getting under the spout where the glory comes out. It's that way. You just want to stay in the presence of God because you know the work that He does within your heart. You can strive and strive and strive and strive and pray and pray, and we need to seek God and to seek God diligently. But pretty soon we just begin to try and do it within ourselves, and we begin to come to a place where we're beating our chest, so to speak, and we're getting nowhere. And we need to just sit back and love Jesus and realize, Lord, you just take control. You take control of my life. I can't do a thing. You're the one. You're the one that can do it. You're the one that can do it in my life and to change me and do that work. Praise God. I just love and appreciate you tonight. And I just, as Simon said, if there's anything here, if there's any doubts, if there's anything within your mind, please just place a faith within the leadership that you have here within the body that they're going to take care of it. And be free tonight in Jesus. Be free in Him. Just let Him come in and do that work. Praise God. Praise God. I love you tonight.
Praise the Lord. If there's anything that I could share with you tonight, it would be, as Dick has mentioned, is the love of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that we have. And in John chapter 13, in verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And praise God, as I was thinking how I got where I am at today, it was because of the work that was started through Don Burnett's father and through him and on down the line. And as 5.5 or almost 6 years ago, when I was back, came back to visit the chapel, was when Janice and I were in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We were going to a congregational church there. We were born again. And Richard and another brother had been sharing what God had been doing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how God had been moving in their lives. And I thought, yes, I want to have that. I want to have what God has for me, everything He has for me. And we came to the chapel here and saw what God was doing, how God was moving in the hearts of the people here. And tonight, I am thankful to you for what God has done in my life. That firm foundation that's been planted in our body and in the people has allowed us to receive all that God has for us. And I thank the moving of God here at the chapel, because that is what turned our life around, so we, just so to speak, pulled up all stakes and says we're going to what God has for us. We left everything. We went to Chippewa Falls. And God has done a marvelous work in our lives since that time. Our lives have been transformed. Oh, hallelujah. I praise Him tonight. He is a great God. And He has great things for us in this end time move of God. Nothing that we can do, nothing that I can really say to you, but allow the Spirit of God, as He has been moving on me, that if I can share the love of Jesus to you, as you have been gracious to share that same love to me, tonight I am thankful. I look forward to the days to come, even as the elders get together, to receive a blessing from you. I was so blessed by the gospel and song last night. The Spirit of God has been moving in my heart. And I just appreciate the love of God. And this morning, the message and everything. God's love is here. Let it flow tonight. Let Jesus have His way. Love one another. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. And I was jealous for the things that were happening to some people in the body. Lord, don't leave me out of this thing. I want everything you have for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, He's faithful. He's no respecter of persons. He'll take you where you are. And oh, hallelujah, He took me where I was. Praise God, if the desire is there, you want to serve God. Oh, He's going to pour out a blessing upon us. Praise God. Oh, He's wonderful tonight, and He wants to do that. Oh, hallelujah. And I think of the foundation that I mentioned, Ron Myrick and his wife, Terry. Oh, we just love you so dearly. God used you mightily to set that foundation. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Steve Fay and his wife come back, and precious brother. Oh, God did a work here in this chapel. Oh, praise God. Fight a faith tonight even. Hallelujah. Oh, hang in there because God has got glorious things for us. Praise God. I thank Jesus tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Just love Him tonight. I thank You for that love that You showed to me. Oh, praise God. It was wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what's going to get us there. Oh, praise God.
I'd like to share tonight with you what God has done in my life. He's changed me. He's done a miracle in my life. I found myself in my Christian walk like the dry bones that it talks about in Ezekiel. The life, the joy had gone from my salvation. That personal love relationship with Jesus had seemed to slip away from me. I got into the place where there had to be something more. Something more in order to go on. There had to be more of Jesus. And one night, miraculously, He transformed my life. Just overnight. It was a miracle. It was nothing that I deserved, nothing that I did to deserve it. And now I feel so unworthy of what He has done. There is nothing that I did to deserve it. It was only by the mercy and the love of Jesus that He changed my life. He's taken me and given me a heart for prayer. Before, it was a struggle to get down on my knees and pray. It was actual work to do that. God has taken my heart and He's changed it. And if I could, I think I'd pray all day and all night. But I can't explain it. I don't know why. But God has done it. And He's given me a hunger for His Word. Before, it was a struggle to read the Bible, to read Scriptures, to get into His Word. And overnight, He transformed me. The Word of God has become life. It's become life in me, and it's changed me. And it's not anything that I deserved. Not at all. Nothing I did. It's just by the mercy of God. It's because Jesus loves us all. And He wants to do that in every one of our lives. Every one of us. We don't have to get good. We don't have to do anything. He'll take us the way we are. Then He'll change us. All we need to do is give ourselves to Him. He'll change our lives. I found that I couldn't do it in myself. I would strive and strive to be what I knew the Word said I had to be. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in myself. But God did it. And it's a miraculous work. It's a work that I can't explain. I don't know why He did it, but He did it. And I know He did it. I found myself sitting at work, sitting at my desk, and the Spirit of God would come upon me, and I'd feel His love, and I'd get tears in my eyes. And I thought, why is this happening? I'm supposed to be at work. I'm supposed to be working. But the Spirit of God isn't only in church. He goes with us everywhere we are. I found myself at night, supposed to be sleeping. I'd wake up in the morning, my wife would tell me I'd been praying all night. And I didn't know it. It wasn't anything I'd done in myself. It's all by the mercy and the love of Jesus. And it's for everybody. It's not something that we can work up. Jesus will do it. And I just love Him and I praise Him.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the love of Jesus is wonderful. Oh, glory. All day long, and during the service, I've been sitting here saying, Lord, what am I going to share, Lord? How can I share something so intimate, something so personal? I really can't, except just the love of Jesus and what He's done in my life. Oh, glory to God. Oh, He's so precious. He's so precious. Oh, Jesus. I've loved the Lord ever since I've been saved and Spirit-filled. I was raised in a Christian home even. But God had to do something in my life. And He let us get to a point in our life. And I have my wife up here because I want her to share something too. We are work as a team. Actually, she's holding me up. Oh, glory. She's a helpmate. Oh, I love her. Oh, Jesus. But God allowed us to get to a point in our marriage where it was about ready to collapse. And then He took over. And He brought it back together. And we're standing here tonight as a living testimony and a miracle of God. Just for an encouragement, anybody out here that might be having any problems, I want you to have you see that we are a testimony of God's love and what He can do and how He can bring a couple back together. Praise God. Back about 2 months ago, about 2 months ago, God really got a hold of my life. I was wrapped up in the ministry of the Christian school, which I'm principal in the Sunday school. And I got really busy in the ministries. And I got so busy that I really forgot about God. Jesus had taken kind of a back seat. And I had seen these things happening to some of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I thought, Lord, how come I'm doing what You want me to do? How come I'm not receiving? How come I can't be transformed? And I didn't seem to get any answer. And I became discouraged because God didn't seem to want me, I thought. I knew it wasn't true. But my mind was telling me that He really didn't want me. Then I decided that, you know, Lord, I think I'm going about this backwards. I think I'm striving and I can't strive. But one Saturday, we were invited over to a prayer meeting. And during that day, I said, Lord, whatever it takes, I want You so desperately. I want You to move in my life so desperately that I will do anything that You want me to do. So I can have that personal relationship with You. When you ask that, be prepared. Be prepared for God to do things you don't even realize can happen. I went to that prayer meeting, and we had what we consider a prayer meeting, a normal prayer meeting. We prayed individually. We prayed for each other. We prayed for healing. We prayed for things, you know. And some left, and some of the rest of us stayed. And as I was sitting in the chair, the presence of God came upon me so strong that I literally went right out of my chair. And I began to feel the joy of the Lord within me just well up, and I began to laugh uncontrollably. And God was doing that cleansing. And He was doing that work within me that I had asked Him to do, and I had finally yielded myself to Jesus and said, I'm going to do what You want me to do. And that night, many, many things happened. I'm not going to go into them because they're manifestations, and we're not after the manifestations. We're after that deep work, what God can do in your heart. Oh, those things will come, though. Those things, if there's a manifestation of God, don't shy away from it. But don't look for it. Look for that cleansing work that God can do and that purifying work that He can do in your heart. Oh, and He's going to do it. Oh, He'll do it. He just loves each one of us so much. And two, I just appreciate everybody here. I feel I should be scared, I guess, standing up here. I really am not. She really isn't my crutch. But I feel such a oneness and such a unity with this body. And even though I don't know the pastor on a real personal level, I've met him a few times, but I hear him many times during the week. Because we listen to the tapes. And I know your pastor's heart. I know my pastor's heart. And I love both of them. I guess I'd have to say I love my pastor more. Because I've shed tears with my pastor more. I've shed the joys with my pastor more. But I know he's come under the leadership of Pastor Barnett. So I really appreciate the oneness that we have. But what I want to leave tonight with you is the love of Jesus. That total submission to Jesus. That no matter how bad things may seem in your life, or how down you may be, or how high you may be in the Spirit, Jesus is there. He wants to take you. If you're here, He wants to take you to a higher place. If you're down here, He wants to lift you up to that higher place. Just submit yourself to Jesus and to His love, because He loves us so much. As I said, I can't even express what's down inside because of that love that He has for us. It's such a personal thing. And I know that He's going to move in every one of your hearts. We have something so special. I've been in other churches, and I'm not trying to build up the church. But I know that we have something so special that we don't have to be afraid of letting God get a hold of us. We don't have to be afraid, because God can get a hold of us. And if we step this way, we know our pastor is going to bring us back in line. It's just like we talk in our school. We run a disciplined ship. But we know that those children feel a freedom within that school, because it's like a big fence around them. And as long as they're within that fence, they feel freedom. They'll bang their heads against the fence. They'll receive the correction, but they come right back in the middle. And they know as long as they are within here, they can do what they want, because it's going to be approved. But once they hit their head against that fence, it's going to come back. They're going to come back in with some discipline. And that's the way I feel. I can express the love of God. I can share with people. I can do things because I know that if I get out of line, my pastor is going to bring me back in, because I have a confidence in him. He's a man of God. Have confidence in your pastor and in your leadership. Love him. Pray for him. Because the devil is out to destroy. Praise God, he's not gonna. Oh, and then sometimes when I'm praying, the laughter just comes, and it's like God is saying, as your pastor said, he's so puny. No, not your pastor. No, the devil. But God is saying, Satan is so puny. Pray for that one. Pray for that one. I can release him. That one is sick. Pray for him. I can heal him. And the laughter comes up inside. And I just kind of laugh and say, oh, God, you can do it. Oh, and you're doing it. And God will do it. Oh, I love you. Praise God. I ask my wife to come up and just share just a portion of a testimony of one of our students. For some of you younger people out here, I have a love for children. If they're this high or if they're this high, I don't care. I just love children. And I know that there's some children here, and God will move in your life. And I just ask my wife to just share just a short testimony with one of our students.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Jesus so much. And I just want to share quickly what He's done in my life. I got to a point where I did everything I knew to do. I went to all the Bible studies, I listened to all the tapes, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I did all those things. And I thought, Lord, there has to be more. I'm doing all this, but there has to be more. And one night, God touched me. He really touched my soul. And since that night, I've not been the same person. He took away things that I was trying to do myself, and only He can do it through a real work of the Spirit. Only He can do it. And I was trying so hard to do it on my own, and I thought, oh, I'll just get really, really, you know, righteous and really good, and then God's really going to touch me, and it didn't work that way at all. But the night that He touched my soul was so special, I can never deny. I can never deny that. I came up here to share a little bit about our children. I've had questions asked, what about the children? What's happening to the children? Are they just not a part of the move of God? What are they doing? And they are a part of the move of God.
Amen.
They really are. And the first few nights that we had these prayer meetings, they would come and they'd watch and they'd get hungry and they'd get hungry. And they'd see the adults moving in. And we thought, oh, this is really good. They don't want to watch TV anymore. They just want to come to church. And God began to touch them one by one. And I'd like to share just one little quick thing that God did in the life of one of them. He's touched so many of them, and I've wept with them, with the students at school. I've counseled with them. I've told them what to say and what not to say, how to react. And I got to a point where I said, Lord, they're just not going to make it. Some of those kids just aren't going to make it. And what can I do? I've tried everything. I've even saved them, some of them. And I said, Lord, you have to touch them. You've got to do something. You just have to do it. And one student in particular had a real drawing. There were things in the world that she wanted, and yet she wanted to be at school. And a lot of things happened in her life, and she decided that she'd go to public school. And every time she'd go to school, she'd get on the bus. Oh, she'd get so ill. She'd get to school and she'd get sick and they'd have to come and get her and she'd go home and she'd just be fine. There's nothing wrong with her. And this went on for a week and a lot of things took place, you know. And she finally, through counsel and things, she came back to Christian school. And at Christian school, on Monday mornings, we'd have prayer meeting from 9 o'clock until 12. Sometimes it lasts till 3 o'clock. These kids would just enter in and God would touch them. And she came to school on a Monday morning. And we began to pray with her, and God touched her, and she was under the power of God for an hour and a half. She just lay there, and she couldn't move. And while she was there, God gave her a vision and changed her life. She's not the same girl. She isn't the same person. She could never look anyone really straight in the face and just, you know, look at them, because she'd kind of always turn and she was shy and sometimes she would just kind of walk away, you know. And He gave her a vision of herself, and she was in a wedding gown and she began walking down this long aisle in a church. And she looked up at the aisle, you know, way down by the altar, and she looked up there and she saw Jesus standing there. And she started to go to Him. And she kept yielding and going and going. And she got closer and closer to Him. And she saw that He had His hand stretched out. And in His hand, He had a human heart, and it was beating. And she just kept yielding, and she got right up to Him. And He took that heart, and He just reached out, and He placed it right in her. And since that time, she is not the same girl. It's not to say that she's perfect or anything like that. But God did such a transforming work in her life. And He's done that to other children. He's touching them one by one. And I know different ones have come up and they say, Mrs. Repper, Jesus is so far away from me. I can't even talk to Him. And I'd counsel with them and I'd pray with them. And, you know, and some of those ones God has touched in such a mighty way. Amen. And he's going to do it. He's going to touch them one by one. Oh, God has given me such a heart for those kids. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he's touching them and changing their lives. They're still kids. But he's touching them and he's doing a work in them.
Amen. Just one last thought. Jesus will do whatever you need him to do. Don't look for somebody else's experience with God. Reach out to Jesus and accept your own experience. Receive Jesus' love for yourself. It's an individual walk. And Jesus is there to meet you. Just reach out, take hold of his hand. He's that precious, he's that personal. He's done it for a number of us, and I know he's done it for a number of you. He'll do it for each one of us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Would you like to stand for a second?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh my, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. Just offer praise unto thy name, O God. Thou that loved us and gave yourself for us. Oh, Lord, and we love you because you first loved us and gave yourself a covering for us. Oh, we that were unable. Oh, Jesus, you gave yourself a covering, Lord. A propitiation. Oh, Lord, your love is poured out, O God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, sholot of Isia. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, just bless him, O God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, solo lokin. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, just prepare them, O God. Oh, Lord. Lord, just to receive that wave of your spirit, O God. Oh, hallelujah. God has been so wonderful to Denise and I over the last 3 years. And God has met our needs wonderfully, and we've been blessed with the opportunity to be in the midst of a people that love God, to share their love and to enjoy them. I've appreciated them deeply, and they've been good to me, very, very good to me. I received so much here also, and I want to express my appreciation. My wife and I were walking down the other night, down past the Bible college, and I recalled the voices of the teachers, the many things they gave me, how the dedications of lives were imparted to me, and how that great amount of truth was given to us and planted in our bosom, we might bear it and that we might give it. I was reminded of the voice of Don. I was reminded of all the sermons, all the good things that happened to me here. All the really good things that happened to me here. And how that God had done a tremendous work. You know, tonight, if I handed a blueprint to most of you, you wouldn't be able to read it. And you know, that's the way the Word of God is to so many. In this time in Bible college, it was as if God had shown me what the little symbols were at the margins, had shown me how to find the truths and the nuggets in God's Word, and how to give them out. And it's been a blessing. It's been a tremendous blessing. When this move of God began back in Chippewa, I guess I'm a conservative individual. I don't know how else to put it. Either that or I'm stubborn, or either that I'm hard-headed. I don't know. But I loved God, and I was longing for God's presence, but I didn't fully understand to begin with. I was weighing these things to see if these things fit together with the Scripture. And I could see that these people who had been so stoic and so conservative that they were, as it were, pretty stationary sort of folks. And suddenly God got a hold of them, and power was flowing through their lives, and they were moving in God, and they were so excited. And as I saw things began to happen around me, I said, this has got to be of God. That's all it could be. And as I was driving one day in my car, in my work, I have to travel. And I was driving up into northern Wisconsin, and I said, oh God, why us? I'm a rookie. We're all rookies. Why us? And he said, because the captain of the Lord's host walks in the midst of you. That's why. Joshua was a rookie too. But the captain of the Lord's host walked with him. And that's why they were mighty. That's why they were mighty. And the reason that God has been mighty in our midst is because the captain of the Lord's host has walked in the midst of us. He's walking in the midst of those candlesticks. He's the power and the force. He's the glory that's in the midst of us. And God is doing a tremendous work. You know, I was kind of worried at first, you know, about different manifestations and things that would transpire. And I labored and I thought, oh, Lord, not this. Oh, this is going to stumble somebody. But the unsaved came in and they weren't stumbled. Oh, hallelujah. When God's Spirit moved, there was something mighty that was there and they could not deny it. And God began to do a work. And an unsaved husband who was a skeptic came in, just decided to go to church one night. And as he sat about three quarters of the way back in the church, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and touched him mightily. He sat right there and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he got up and he came forward. They prayed for him. Bam! Flat on his back. Praising God. Laying there under the power of God. And it's not the manifestation of glory in, but what God does in the manifestation. And as he stood up, he began to speak forth in tongues, and God just touched him mightily. Hallelujah. And you know, I boasted for some period of time that I'd been a Pentecostal for 8 years, and I'd never groveled on anyone's floor. And I said, never. Never. One night we were praying and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And the Spirit of intercession for some that I'd had a heart for. And as you minister, God gives you a heart for people. You see them and you want to see their needs met. And we were praying and the Spirit of the Lord came down upon me. And we'd all had our arms together and we were praying. And everyone left go of me. And the Spirit of the Lord came down on me. Bam! And I didn't want to. Believe me, I didn't want to. And I didn't want to stay there once I was there. And wouldn't you know it, everyone went up there and said, oh, look at him. And during that time, though, I make light of it, but I don't want to either. During that time when God had put me down under his power, God began to deal with my life, and he began to pull up those things that were hindering me, those bits of flesh, those things that were restraining me from moving into God's fullness and power. And God began to say to me, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you forth. I'm going to bring forth in you the power of the Spirit. I'm going to make you to rise up and walk with me. You're going to have my glory upon you. And as I got up, I felt clean, just clean all throughout. And God has done a marvelous work in the midst of us. And God is going to continue to do a marvelous work in us. I want to share with you tonight that we are of this body. We are of this body. We learned to cut the stones that formed the church that we have in Chippewa Falls right here. We learned what the blueprint was all about right here. And we've built our church on that foundation, which is the same foundation that this church is built on, and that is Jesus Christ. And upon His Word, and we cling to His Word, and His Word is our sure word of prophecy. And we stand on it, and we're firm in it, and we're going to continue in it, and it's going to guide us, and it's going to direct us. And I don't want you to look at this move of God so much as them and us. I want you to look at it as a great wave of God's Spirit that's going to sweep over all the earth. And it just happened to get the eastern hand wet first. And it's coming. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm not sure where it got wet first, but I sure appreciate what God has done. Again, my voice is a typical Pentecostal voice I mentioned this morning, and it's been like this a month. And so I've been waiting day by day and hoping that the next day would be a little better. And I do think it's a little better today than it was yesterday, but it's still not in very good shape.
I want to kill that right now. Gifts of healing don't get much results in. And I've had the results from the Lord. Not only because, you know, you kill a virus, but the cells and everything are still inflamed and all of this. But I have seen over and over and over again, people stop me and I pray for the throat and the swelling in the gland goes down and the swelling in the tissue goes down and the redness goes away and the pain goes away. And I believe God's going to heal this brother right now. I'm going to just pray for him right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over this sore throat. I ask you, Lord, now to do a miracle.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, the swelling shall go down now. It cannot stand in Jesus' name. You shall receive immediate relief in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are healed. You are healed. It shall not bother you tonight. The Lord Jesus heals you now by a miracle. It cannot stand. I curse the virus. Rebuke your soul. Rebuke your soul.
Hallelujah.
I command you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We're truly excited with what God is doing. I've asked the brethren to come up tonight to share some of the things in their lives because it's typical of what's happened. Now, they didn't give very many specifics, and I'm to give all of the things that have happened. It would take too much of your time and our time tonight, because I believe that God is going to be doing a marvelous work in our lives tonight, myself included. I haven't arrived someplace. As a matter of fact, I feel like I've just finally got my feet going someplace. I feel like finally the feet are under me, and now I'm sitting here, and they're beginning to move, and I'm kind of getting some direction, wondering which way to go. But God has done something, He's going to do something, and we haven't seen the half, nor the half has not been told of what God is going to do. And God alone is going to receive the glory. He alone is going to do it, and He wants to do it His way. I'd like to ask you tonight not to, if you've come because you've heard of the marvelous things that are happening, don't, by any means, don't look at myself or any of the ones that have come with us from Wisconsin. Because in us, really, there isn't anything that's going to do anybody any good. But as we look unto God, and as we begin to pray for one another, brethren, as we start praying for one another, we begin to see the hand of God begin to move. You know, God is looking for unity. And one of the things that we've seen as people have begun to pray for one another, we have certain people that seem to be anointed to pray with other people, and God blesses them. Things begin to happen. But that has not always been the case. We've had people go up and form circles and begin to pray with one another, and suddenly the Spirit of God has moved upon them and their lives have been transformed. And that's happened throughout the church. We haven't seen any pattern that's existed. All we've seen is night after night after night after night, God has moved a couple at a time, a few at a time, one in an evening. But every night, I believe that we've had in the last several months, God has done something significant in that night. Every single night, God has done a work in lives that just goes beyond my imagination. And at first, I was skeptical. And because of my makeup, and I know as Don has shared in my conservative personality, and I looked at some of the things that were happening, and I said, I don't know if we want this. But I soon discovered that if I just left it open to the Lord, that we were having it anyway. And God was coming down upon people and overwhelming them to such an extent with his love that they were responding and they were reacting to the Spirit of God in such a way that all of these things were taking place. And so the excitement began to build. And once the Lord convinced me, and he did, just like in some of the other ones, I had experiences, tremendous things. And the Spirit of God has been upon me on a day-by-day basis for I don't remember how long now. But it's done a work in me, something that I've longed for, something I've desired, something that I wondered if I'd ever see it again. I've seen it. My life has changed, and not the same. And I stand up here tonight as a living testimonial of the power of God. And back in Wisconsin, our name is getting to be known. And especially in the general areas around us. And not always good, not always accurate, but we're in a smaller area. So people know a lot about more about us probably than they do you, if that's possible. And a lot of it isn't good. They've heard things, and would you believe? Now, this is something that I think is a remarkable thing. Would you believe that a number of ministers, I would say two or three possibly, that live within the immediate area of our church that are Spirit-filled ministers, went to Bible college at some Bible college in Seattle, that was here during the beginning of this church and knows all about Don Burnett and this church and all of the things that are here and about us through that, or think they do? Isn't that remarkable? We've got two, or I believe three, I believe there's three of them, that know all about what's going on out here, and they haven't given any good reports at all. So we're sharing in it. But God is going to move irregardless. There's hardly anybody in our church that hasn't been changed to some extent, but not everybody has experienced some great manifestation. As a matter of fact, I don't believe Simon has fallen on the floor or laughed in the spirit or danced or anything that some of the other things that we've seen reactions as the Spirit of God has come upon people. But we've seen a lot of lives change in instants of time. People have gone to bed one night and woke up the next morning somebody else. And anyway, it's kind of a sign of what's been happening. God has been transforming people. And he's been doing that, which we've been longing for. But it hasn't taken the due process of time. It's been immediate. Sudden changes. I say that because I think that's important. It's important to know that we don't have to wait through some process of evolution in our Christian walk, you know, until one of these days we suddenly were, or not suddenly, but we're slowly transformed into something else. We don't have to wait for that. God can do it in a moment of time. It's been to us like we've been receiving the Holy Spirit over and over. Not over and over, but over again. Like a refilling, a baptism of love is the way that I've labeled it. God has poured on such a love upon us that the love has come and it has gone and spread to other members of the church, bringing unity. Suddenly, we've developed a unity in our body where there's a, There's such a togetherness that people want to be together. They don't have time anymore for the differences and some of these gripes and complaints and things that were normal. But they're spending time in the presence of God, and God is beginning to move, and our counseling has really dropped off. It's changed. And it hasn't been because we've counseled wisely, although I believe our counselors have done an excellent job in the Lord, but it's been because God has suddenly moved upon us in a revival that has changed our church. And we've seen people coming in, strangers. They walked in the doors and sat down in the back and slowly moved up towards the front. And they've seen things. We've had a number of people. We haven't had a lot. I'm not saying we've had an influx of hundreds. No, we haven't. But we've had some. They've come in, and the things that I would say would have scared the daylights out of them, they've come and they've said, you know, I want that, whatever it is. And it's just, you know, I've just been flabbergasted. I said, how could anybody come in and see people, you know, all of a sudden laughing or whatever, as the Spirit of God comes upon them and want it? I mean, that would be something I wouldn't want in the natural. But when God is in people and doing a work, suddenly people want that. He's breathed into some dead bones, and those dead bones have suddenly begin to live. God is doing a work. And I'd like to mention maybe just a couple of things, just a few incidents that have happened. And then I'd like to have a time of prayer. And we have a couple, I believe, they have a couple of specials. Okay, fine. But a few of the incidents that have happened in our people that has, you know, God has moved not only on the older ones, but he's moved on the younger ones in our church. And not to glory in manifestations or reactions to the Spirit, but I would like to, tonight, I just feel impressed to mention some of the things so that if things happen, that we understand that these are normal reactions. And also that if nothing happens to you, don't worry about it. If you're praying and seeking God and the Spirit of God comes upon you and you don't do anything, don't worry about it. We don't, you know, we're not looking after something, even though our flesh might desire it. But when the flesh desires a manifestation, that leads to fanaticism. And we don't want that. We want a real, genuine move of God that will change us. But I tell you something, when this flesh and when this vessel, this vehicle, gets full of the Holy Ghost and overflowing with the Holy Ghost, we've seen a lot of reactions to it. It can only contain so much. And when it gets saturated fully, we've seen people that have done some strange things. And the thing that's really strange is that these people would never do it. We have a lady that in our church that is a very stately type of a young lady. And, you know, I don't know just how to describe her, except that, I mean, you can tell by her personality and just knowing her that some of the things that she's done, she'd never do normally. And one service, she spent the entire service up on the front of the, behind the pulpit, laying there while we ministered, music ministry sang, I believe, and I preached the message. And she just laid there with her hands up in the air. And afterwards, she came down, and because the Spirit of the Lord was upon her, she just laid there in the Spirit. And my wife's mother, who has been coming, and God has really blessed her, and she says, I know it's real. I know it's real, because I know she would never do that. And these are the kind of things. We saw a little fellow that is about 4 or 5 years old, and a couple of the brethren were praying with him one night, and people were being touched by the Lord, and God was blessing them, and they were weeping, and just such a presence of God upon the assembly. And he came up and he had his hands in his pocket. And this is one of the things that, one of the highlights, you know, one of those things that you never forget. You forget a lot of things, but one of these things you never forget. And he came up there with his hands in his pocket and they began to pray with him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he still had his hands in his pocket. But he began under the influence of the Spirit. He began to kind of wobble a little bit. And he's only, you know, that tall anyway. And suddenly down he went. Boom. And he laid there just in the presence of God, just enjoying it. And when he got up, it looked like he'd been drinking. And he kind of staggered around, and he fell over, and he tried to go, and he ran backwards and went sideways. And to know him, I mean, you know, if you knew somebody here really well and you saw him do something like this, you wouldn't, I mean, you'd know that it wasn't something that they manifested just to do it. You know what I mean? It was because the power of God was upon him. And it's happened to children. We've seen students that have, some of the younger ones that have stayed in a funny position, just kind of seemed like they're hardly balancing because they were in this, you know, God's power was upon them. Things were happening. We've seen people do, you know, some of the strangest things. But they have all been to the glory of the Lord. We've been edified by them. And I have yet to see anything that didn't bring a great praise from out of me unto God for what he was doing in his people in this visitation. I sat there, and inside I have just been glorifying the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know how much we can take, but Lord, just enlarge our vessels so we can take as much as you got or you want to give us. And God has been doing it. And it's just to his praise and to his glory. God has moved upon us. And I have felt so many times, I've said, Lord, let whatever happens glorify you. And let us get out of this crazy habit of wanting some little portion. You know, the Bible says that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I'm wondering if maybe, I'm not giving any teaching on it, if maybe that it doesn't apply to even little portions of this flesh, individually. If I can say, Lord, I don't even want one little iota of this flesh to glorify, or to be glory, to glorify itself. That no flesh, not even a portion of my flesh, should glory. And I believe that that's the reason that we've seen some of the things we've seen. When God gets through, he wants to be all in all. He wants to be all there is. He wants to receive the glory. And God has come to our rescue in a time when it looked hopeless, and has done a marvelous work. And he's caused these brethren that you've seen come up here tonight. Normally they wouldn't do that or share some of these things. As a matter of fact, they have been really in awe of coming out, and they've been hearing so much. But when you have a testimony and God has done a work and it's recent, people don't have much of a problem getting up and sharing. And it's been recent. And I would like to ask, I don't know just exactly some of the questions that are on people's hearts and minds, but we are going to be fellowshipping with the eldership for this next week. And we're going to be sharing, you know, individual situations, things that have happened. And I believe that after that time that as Don feels led, that maybe he'll, you know, be bringing some of these specifics in some of the things. I'm not sure just exactly the things to bring. There's so many things that have happened. And, you know, after two or three months of services every night and prayer meetings during the day and all of the things that are going on, we've seen a lot of things that God has done, and we've forgotten a lot of things.
Keith, can I tell you what I would like to do tonight? What I would like is this. I think that the people here are not ready to go home yet. I think that we really like to know more specifics. I'd like you to just take another 20 minutes and just ramble. And I think the people would like to hear just a lot of specifics. Just this case and this case and this case and what you've seen and this and how much what effect, and just getting a lot of specifics. And then we'll close it with one music ministry from your group. But I think that the thing they came for tonight to hear the most is the things that you've already told us a little bit. And I think you'd probably be intimidated by the clock, Phil. And I think we'd rather give you another 20 minutes to just go ahead and just give us a lot more specifics. I think this is really what they want to know. Isn't that right? Would you all stand, please, and just change position? Give a good stretch. Okay, you may be seated.
By specifics, you mean some of the manifestations we've seen and some of the things. Okay. Brace yourself. We have, even though we're out in the boondocks of the Midwest and Wisconsin, we have a number of people in our church that are you know, highly educated, intellectual type people. And so we've had, you know, lots of things that are amazing that have happened all the way down through our church. And we have one of our gentlemen is a lawyer. And anyway, just a lovely man. I mean, we really appreciate him. And anyway, he was kind of, as he looked at some of the things that were happening, and you know, I could see it and I thought, oh Lord, I just feel so sorry for some of our people. I know how hard it is for them to see these things. And you know, our church hasn't been like this. We've been coming together and singing songs and praising the Lord and worshiping, and we've just, you know, just had a normal, good Pentecostal type environment. And as a matter of fact, my brother mentioned to me, he says that some of the things that are happening here, he says, you know, those regular, genuine old holy rollers haven't seen these things. And I said, well, I think they have. But it seemed like that. But here's this fellow, and he's been praying and praying, and nothing really happened, you know. But he, at least he began to get hungry. And one evening, as they were praying for him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he began to do something that has got to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And he began to dance on one foot at a time at a position that was almost horizontal to the ground without falling. And it would be, I don't know if I can give a demonstration, but it was like this, you know. And then it was back and forth. And I sat there and I watched him, you know. And I knew, isn't that right? I knew at any time he's going to fall on the floor. And after a while, I just sat there and I just watched him. I said, this is amazing. It's amazing that somebody can be doing something like this with their eyes up and their hands in the air and all of these gyrations as the Spirit of God was upon him and he was being moved upon and these things were happening. We've had... we've had people come come to the service and, you know, with problem areas and things and sit in the back and sit there. And as a matter of fact, we've encouraged people. We said, listen, we don't want people to come and just watch. That's an old thing that's developed in churches, and it's not healthy for church members to sit in the back and watch what somebody else is doing. I mean, it's not healthy. But as this has begun to happen, we said, listen, don't go home. Just sit in the back and watch. And what it's done, it's caused and created a hunger. And we've watched people come in angry. I know, I don't mean not angry at God or angry, but just angry, you know, just, And sat in the back, and God has begun to move, and people are praying, and then they've moved up a little further and moved up a little further, and finally, they're up in the front being prayed for. And the other evening, Wednesday night, we saw a fellow that has had a real rough time. And anyway, it's been so difficult for him. And he was prayed for. Somebody was praying for him, and I can't remember exactly what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, this is just unnatural, uncommon, not something that this man would do at all. Being highly, you know, an intellectual type, and being in the business world, and just the personality does not conducive to something like this. And he's standing there, and they're praying with him. And all of a sudden, with his hands up like this, he just went over backwards. Boom. And he was on the floor for, I suppose, a half hour. And just laying there. And his wife, if she ever had any potential of becoming a fanatical holy roller, it happened then. Because it's been so difficult for him, you know, as she's moved into the things of God and God has touched her. And here he is on the floor, and I remember seeing her. And she could not contain it. She just was, she almost went wild. I don't know how else to explain it. But when the man got up, he was different. And when we left, he was a different person. And I thought, how can God, in a moment of time, do something that is so impossible in us? Those are miracles taking place. Fantastic miracles. And his wife, I mean, she's our music ministry. We've almost had to abandon the use of it. Because God's Spirit has been coming wave after wave after wave over the church. And our music ministry's got up to minister with good intentions. And we've asked him, we said, how many in music ministry feel like they could come up and minister tonight or today or whenever? And so they come on up, you know, and maybe a dozen or however many. We haven't had a full music ministry for the last couple of months, because there's always some that are, you know, they're, as the Spirit of God begins to come upon us, things begin to happen. They're afraid of their own reactions. And they are different sometimes. And one night, in one of the services, music ministry, as they came up, I had a thought there, I lost it. But as they came up to the front, and they begin to minister, and suddenly, you know, I mean, there's just great joy and great expectancy and great things as God is moving. And you can, almost like you can feel waves of the Spirit coming over the church. And I know kind of, at least in a little bit, how they felt at Azusa Street and some of these things. Not fully, but at least a little. And suddenly, they're up there singing. And the presence of God is upon us, and people are worshiping the Lord, and there's, you know, you can just see the love of God just flowing through the body, and suddenly somebody in music ministry is holding themselves like this, and then they're going through all kinds of contortions, and because the power of God is upon them to such a degree, and then you watch them hobble or do something, and make their way down and sit in a seat. And I said one service, I said, I think I've determined how we can know when to change the order of the service, when there's nobody left in music ministry. And I thought to myself, I thought, oh, I can just see poor brother George. Well, I don't know if anything like that's going to happen, but I thought it's a frightening thing. It's, you know, because God is moving, people are all caught up in the Spirit, and those are the things that happen. Now, that's happened. I've got up to the pulpit to preach. And with good intentions, and this is not my personality, I tell you, but there was such an overwhelming presence of God that came down upon us. The next thing I knew, I was hanging onto the pulpit like this. And a couple of times, I just felt my legs just give from underneath me. There was just such a presence of God, and you just want it to come. You know, it's almost like you're intoxicated, and found myself down behind the pulpit. And it's hard to explain it. And I don't even know, I don't understand exactly some of the things that have happened, but in response to what God is doing, these things have been happening. And service after service, and we've had, you know, different times we've gotten up and to bring a message, or somebody's going to, you know, bring something, and all of a sudden you just know that, no, it's not, that doesn't fit. God is just revealing these things and bringing such a discernment. And so, but what happened? We've been preaching messages. God has been faithful. He's been anointing us. But I would say that in the messages that have been preached, that people are receiving 10 times as much as they ever did before. And there's a more of an attentiveness. There's a more of an interest, and there's an expectancy, and people are studying their Bibles, and they're reading things. And as a matter of fact, in some of our prayer meetings, and we have some real peculiar type services, some of them, in the time they'll be praying, and the people will get out their Bibles, and they'll be on the floor, you know, in a circle with the Bibles in the middle, and they're reading scriptures to one another, and you know, and God just pours out His love and His Spirit upon them. We have another little thing that has come about in the church that we call the Ezekiel's wheel. And where the name, how the name fits, it really doesn't fit to what's going on, but we use the name. You know what I mean? And the brethren gather around. Maybe the women will form a circle of the men. I mean, it's a kind of a spontaneous thing. We don't say, well, let's do it. Suddenly, people find themselves doing it. You know what I mean? And there's such a love developing, and they put their arms around one another's shoulders, and they form a circle. And we've started out, like the other night, there was just a couple of us praying, and we're praying together. Or I don't know. I wasn't in it, I guess, to start with. But pretty soon, somebody else comes up, and another one comes up, and pretty soon, we had about 30 people, I think, in this circle. And we really don't have the room for it, but we had them in it, and they begin to pray for one another. And the power of God begins to come down upon the church, upon the people that are praying. And pretty soon, you know, they just feel such an overwhelming presence of the Lord. And conviction comes, and people run to one another and sometimes ask for forgiveness. And they go over and put their arms around somebody and hug them, and all kinds of things that are in response to what God is doing. And God is doing it. And anyway, we see people, you know, they're praying, and suddenly they'll fall out of the wheel. And we've seen people that were in, you know, being prayed for, and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they just couldn't contain it, and they took off dancing. And we've seen a lot of these things happen. But they've been edifying, they've been encouraging, and that's kind of a general overall picture of what's happening. There's a lot of things that have happened. One of the highlights, you know, if you can picture yourself in a beautiful garden someplace, and in this garden, and if you're a flower lover, which I happen to be, and you see all of the beautiful roses and all of the other flowers that are in a garden, but in the middle of the garden is one that stands out, something that is the most gorgeous, beautiful flower of anything that you've seen. I saw something happen one night. It was Steve and Denise's little girl, Amy. Some of you out here know her. And anyway, she came up to be prayed for, and they were praying for her. And she had her hands up like this, and she started to shake. You know how the Spirit of the Lord was upon her? And all of a sudden, she began to dance. And I mean, she had her head in the air, I think, the entire time. I don't think she ever looked down. I don't know if she did. Maybe she did, but I didn't see it. And she started to dance. And she was dancing around just in this most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. And she danced right up a flight of, well, three steps. I think she was going around, and when she went up, I don't know, and went right back down and danced around and fell on the floor and just laid there in the presence of the Lord. And she repeated that a couple of different times. But as I saw it, it was a tremendous edifying thing in the Lord. And it took away some of the things in my mind. I've often wondered, I thought, Lord, why do people do these things? Well, the Spirit of God comes upon them, they can't contain it, something's got to give. And it began to give. But also, I've discovered that these things that I've wondered about are some of the most edifying things in the Spirit of anything I've ever experienced. And those same things done in the flesh are some of the most horrifying things I've ever seen. And I've seen the flesh. And we've visited churches, we've seen people that have done all kinds of crazy things. And it has made me super cautious. And so I said, Lord, whatever we have, I want it to be of you. And so as these things began and I questioned them, God allowed me to experience at least one of everything. And after I experienced it and was just so overwhelmed by the Spirit, I became a believer. I became convinced. And so I was able to receive some of these things. You know, I haven't been around in Pentecostal circles. I'm out of a Lutheran denomination, and, you know, that's probably one of the wildest churches that I'm used to, you know. And I haven't been raised in Pentecostal circles, and so when I saw some of these things, I just had an inner panic that threatened to, drive me underground. I don't know exactly what to say about what's happened, but to myself, but it seems to me, and in my own words, here's something that has been impressed upon me lately. It feels like that God has said, I want to separate you unto my name, unto my work. I felt a separation that I have wanted, you know, from the world and from the things of this life and from responsibilities and things that really aren't mine. You know, a lot of the things that I was taking as responsibilities were not mine. They were God's. I was trying to live people's lives, and I was trying to do a lot of things that weren't obvious, but they were there. But God has suddenly, as he's moved upon him, he said, I want to separate you unto me. I want you to be mine. I want you to live for me. I want you to praise me. I want you to love me. And there's a love relationship that is developing between Jesus and me that I've wanted. But it's been gone someplace. But that thing has returned. And I just praise the Lord tonight, it's returned. And it's only in the beginning stages, but it's returned. I've gotten so busy, I lost it. But it's returned. It's returning. And I wake up in the morning. I woke up one morning here a week ago or so preaching a message to myself about 4:30. Preaching it to somebody. It had to be me. Spirit of the Lord upon me. I was just shaken. Just, oh, what a tremendous love that God has for us when he'll do these things. And I tell you, he's not left us. He hasn't forsaken us. He's going to do the work, and he's going to get it done. Amen.
Let me interview you a couple questions, Joe. This is your microphone, this is mine. I think the people appreciate getting some of this information. How would you say, Keith, that the move of God started back there? What happened to in his infancy? What sparked this thing?
That's a good question.
You have a good answer to go with a good question?
I guess we got to the place where we just gave up, but yet we didn't want to. You know, the Lord can see hearts even when they're not voicing their needs. He can still see down in the hearts. And even though we've said sometimes, well, like, you know, there was nothing there, I have to, in my own heart and in the hearts of others, and as you've heard them express tonight, there really was inside a desire to be what God wants us to be. There was that desire. And I had even lost the ability, I believe, to really pray that way. I just thought, you know, God's going to do work and it's going to be somebody and I hope it's me. But it, you know, but my brother and his wife got together, and my brother Rodney and his wife, they're elders of the church, and they got together with another couple and they begin to say, well, we're just going to talk about positive things and praise the Lord and read the Bible and do these things, and just in the framework of their home. And as they're there, the Spirit of God began to move upon them, and life-transforming experiences ensued. And they experienced things where they were in the Spirit for hours, and you know, just as God began to work upon them, and they just felt that God was cutting away and doing things inside of them. And I don't know exactly the whole thing, but I know they'll be sharing it, you know, at the elders' retreat in different areas.
How many services have you been having a week, and for how long?
Well, it's since February 2nd. We've been having services every night. And anyway, not everybody comes to everything. But in a majority of the services, about everybody is to the service. And because there's such an expectancy in people, God is blessing them and they're receiving. They come expecting God does something. And I mean, we don't see, you know, everybody in every service experiencing great things. We don't see that. But we see a joy of the Lord upon people that is continual, and whether anything happens or not. We've grown to the place, you know, we've come and we said, well, we're not expecting anything. And so whatever we get will be a surprise and we'll be happy. And God has been so faithful, because God has been moving upon the people that are there as they're praying, and they're praying for one another. And there's an excitement building. You know, when people are excited, something's going to happen. When they're expecting God to move, you know, there's an area of faith involved in that. And when they come and they say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's something, and God's got something for me. And they come, and God's got something for them. And that's kind of the thing that's been happening night after night after night after night. But it was a matter of either having services in lots of homes or having services in the church. And because people just, all of a sudden, they wanted to get together. It wasn't a matter of saying, could everybody please come to church, you know? That wasn't a matter of discussion. We just had to, we opened the church, people were there, God was blessing them, service after service, things began to happen, and it's been building. I thought, you know, after a while, after a month or so, people get tired of this, and people have got tired. Some of them had to take a day or two off and rest and relax, but they're there right again, and away they come. Service after service, and last Wednesday night, the last service we were in, I would say was one of the strongest moves of the Spirit of any I've ever been in. It was just such an overwhelming, we feel waves of the Spirit coming over the church, it kept building and building and building and building. And the thing is, we have some of the people that, at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, they'll sit there and they're crying, and the reason they're crying is because they don't want to go home. But they know they have to, they got to go to work the next day. And so that's been the kind of a thing. It hasn't been because it's been because God has moved.
Have most of these services been mainly prayer, singing, praising? What?
Yeah. Our services, we don't have anything anymore that we would call a normal service. It isn't because I haven't kind of wanted one, you know. But it's been as, you know, during services, I've gotten up to preach, like I said, with good intentions. And I don't know how many times that this has happened, but I've lost count of them. That's how many times. I mean, so many times that as we've been there and I've got up to preach and God has been faithful, the message has come anyway. And as we're preaching, suddenly, you know, somewhere over in the church, somebody falls out of their seat on the floor and they're laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Well, I mean, it's tremendous. And God is really blessing that individual. But the thing is, that individual would never do it, and that's the first time for him. So it's kind of hard to stop it. You don't really know what to do about it. And you have to wait while everybody, you know, people in are, it has a humorous aspect to it. You can't help it. So you have to wait, you know, and so you wait, and then it calms down, and you go on with the message. And then, pretty soon, another outburst, or somebody helps them, and they leave. But even in the leaving part of it, is still humorous. You know what I mean? When somebody goes out and they're laughing and holding themselves and going out of the church, it has something to it that you know. But the thing is, we have not let it distract from bringing the messages and so forth. It's just changed the tenor considerably.
Have people gotten their eyes on manifestations, or have they been able to keep their eyes off of manifestations?
Well, it's kind of... It's only been a couple of months, and so because it's such a short time, I'm kind of sitting there. I'm kind of watching. I mean, we're keeping our eyes on it, and believe me, I am, because of my teaching, and I appreciate that so much. Because of the input we've had, I'm sitting there. I'm almost something happens to him. I'm almost over there interviewing him, and watching him, and just making sure that this is in the spirit, not something of the flesh. That they're really, God is really moving upon them. And so, as it is, I believe that almost every service or every time I have opportunity, I tell them, listen, don't do anything unless you are moved so powerfully on by God that you can't stop from doing it. It just so overwhelms you that you just find yourself doing it. Don't do it. And I believe that's had an effect. I believe it's helped to curtail other things. We've had a couple of people that have unintentionally, I'm going to chalk it up to not knowing the move of the Spirit and what's been happening, because I don't know a lot of these things either. But unintentionally, we've seen it kind of, you know, lean towards something that could end up in the flesh, and so we've talked to them. You know, if anything about it, I'd say we're cautious. We're more cautious than we are liberal. I would say that. I mean, if there's a way of making that distinction. But maybe some have. I don't really know if people have come to see, you know, seek manifestations. There's a possibility. But I would say the majority of the people haven't. They've come and the power of God has been upon them and they want Jesus. And along with it, we've seen these things.
Have you seen a person react when the Spirit of the Lord has come upon them in a certain way, and then the next night attempt to do the very same thing to get the same reaction, but not get the same reaction until the whole thing looks different, even though they're trying to do the same thing?
Yes, we have. And we've talked to them. Because it's obvious. And if there's one thing that God has done, is made it real obvious to us. So that if somebody is in the Spirit, I mean, you know, really moved upon by the Spirit of God, it's obvious. And if they're not, that's obvious too. It's pretty easy to see if we're looking for it. But one of the things is, I think that the mistake that would be so easy to make is that we want the manifestation so bad that we ignore the things that tend to go off into the flesh. Well, we can't do it because in the end, we're going to pay the consequences for whatever, you know, whatever judgments we make right now. And so we want to see this thing be something that is going to lead us in to a genuine, deep relationship with God that is not going to end. And I have seen churches in our area that I know begin with God moving upon them mightily, and because they begin to teach one another to dance and how to fall and some of these other things, they lost the power of God. And we've seen that happen right in our area. And when they stand behind somebody to catch them, you know that there's something missing. And we've warned our people, we don't stand behind them. As a matter of fact, get out of their way.
I think you indicated to me, Keith, that a big portion of your services are people just playing, waiting upon God.
Right. Right. I would say the majority of them, that's what's happened. We try to have our normal services, or the times of our normal services, we try to have something, you know, we try to have a service. And I don't know how to word that, just to, you know, exactly. But we go ahead, and even though some of the things that are apparent distractions, music in music ministry or something happening, at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, sometimes on Sundays, people are still there and the church is full. Normally, you know, people are getting, you know, at least some people are getting a little antsy around 1 o'clock or 12:30, and they're, you know, they got something that's burning at home, and, you know. But we found that people are just not in any hurry to leave. You almost have to ask them to leave in order to get home and take care of things and come back, because God is doing the work and they want to be in the presence of the Lord. And so, what did I start? What was the question?
I think you've answered it. What would you say the most important thing that has come to your church as a result of this move of God?
One of the most wonderful, refreshing love of God experiences that I think we've ever experienced. And I believe that right down through the entire church, if there's anything that everybody says that they have in common, is that they've never felt such love. You know, most of humanity doesn't really know what love is. And we have a lot of people in our church that, you know, their home relationships and their upbringing, you know, and fathers, mothers never showed love. Some of our people have never really had parents. And so even in a family love, they don't know what it is. And so it's been really hard for people to just accept and receive this genuine, pure love of God. But we felt like God has baptized us in love, if we could describe it. And the result of the thing has been unity. Until suddenly, people are having such a love for one another that it's just tremendous. And it's nothing, we've looked at it, we said, how did it come about? Well, we don't know, but we're glad we got it. We're not going to try to figure it out. We're just going to accept it. Because God has done the thing. And this brother, Ron's father, that has been an elder in our church, I would say that the most impact of anything that's happened in our church has been when God touched him in the way that he did. And I looked at him, and I mean, he's a precious man. He loves the Lord, always has. But the transformation that took place made me so jealous and so hungry. And I said, I know God's not a respecter of persons. If he'll take a fisherman and bring him to a place where he told us his worms are dying of old age and do these things in him, and he'll touch me. And he did. And God has touched me just with a new, fresh love. And I tell you, I'm not the same. And I hope I don't ever get back to that place where I was. I want to remain and grow and develop until God is everything. Nothing else matters.
Have you found that the order in which God is moving upon people, that you find no pattern whatsoever as to prayer life, spirituality, walking with God, putting the flesh under, do you see no rhyme or reason why he picks the order, or have you seen some kind of a pattern?
I would say that it's, well, not knowing the real intimate hearts of people, which may make a difference. It looks to us like it's just been who knows where. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that just about, well, a lot of the people have said that they had a hunger. Or if they didn't have a hunger, when God began to move upon people and they saw the tremendous changes and things happening, God created such a hunger in them that suddenly they were hungry. Even if they didn't have a hunger, they were hungry. You know what I mean? It just all of a sudden it just changed in them. That's why we encourage people just to sit. Don't worry about praying. If you find that you pray for 5 minutes and that's all you can pray and can't, well, that's okay. Just sit and just be in the presence of the Lord. Just stay in the building and don't run off. And just get used to it, because it won't be long.
Thank you, Keith. Do you have any last comments?
No, I... Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. Here's your Bible. I want to express my appreciation for Keith and the elders of Chippewa Falls Community Chapel and Bible Training Center for coming out. And we're looking forward to the time we're going to have with the pastors and elders of all of our churches in this next week. Please, please, please be praying for us as we're at this retreat, because we want to advance. And we need your prayers. We want God to have a fresh, bring a fresh move of the Spirit upon our eldership, all of our elderships, that we might come back to our church aflame with a fire and freshness of God, that we might be able to help impart these truths of God with a new anointing upon our life. I had something happen to me last night. I never told my wife about it even, but that I've never experienced. I prayed all night long, and I slept. And I didn't, you know, normally if you pray all night long, it means you can't sleep and it's a lot of work, you know. But this wasn't like that. I was praying when I was, and I was in the hot pool and took a shower, and I just inside I was praying, and I came to bed and I lay there and there was such a peace. And I'm constantly, just constantly, I was just praying to the Lord. It wasn't kind of a frantic thing. It wasn't asking questions, so forth. It was just accepting and praising the Lord. And I didn't have any great glory or anything else. It wasn't striving. It wasn't begging. It was just over and over again. It just had a lay there, just kind of a peace. And the words just kept coming down like this and kept coming. And just seemed like all night long that I prayed. And it seemed like I was conscious of it all night. And yet, probably the first night, I slept the whole night through. But yet I was conscious of it the whole night. Woke up in the morning, was still doing it. Still praying. And I didn't know how long this was going to go on. It hasn't gone on during the daytime today. But it just seemed like, in spite of the fact that I had a good rest and a good sleep, and I was sleeping, I just went under this way and was conscious of the fact all night long that I was praying, going the same thing over and over again. It was just a peace. And it's really been an encouragement to me today. And I just want to continually be accepting the Lord. Accepting the Lord. Accepting the Lord. Like, you know, like if you've got a bad disease and you want to be healed, if you just keep accepting it and accepting it and claiming it and accepting it and claiming it, eventually you begin to see a healing begin to take place after a while. And I'm hungry for God. I'm believing God to do wonderful things this next week. I wanted to say in closing one thing concerning manifestations. Now, I've given a message last Sunday morning in Sunday school and the morning service that I think is a very, very valuable lesson. And if you were not here, I would strongly urge you to check out those tapes. The tapes were concerning manifestations of the Spirit under revival. It was a 2 hours, 1 hour in the Sunday school, 1 hour in the morning sermon. I think they're valuable perspectives concerning manifestations. But I just want to say, it would be a horrible mistake for people to get anxious for manifestations. And foolish besides. All my life, all the history of observation that I've ever experienced, whenever I have seen people try to for manifestations to get God's power, it never has worked. It has always been a disappointment. It always has looked terrible. It has never edified. You cannot get the Spirit by copying the manifestations that come from the Spirit. And just going to give me 3 or 4 minutes to wrap this up by saying, manifestations of the Spirit in general all reactions from the move of the Spirit. Now, the reason I say that is, I do acknowledge that God ministers in His Spirit, in His people. And they are, technically speaking, manifestations. That is, prophecy is a manifestation of the Spirit. And He will minister in prophecy to His people. Singing in the Spirit is a manifestation. And while there is what we call, quote, singing in the Spirit, which we do because God's Spirit is upon us, there is another thing which is a manifestation, which is a ministry. The Holy Spirit is ministering to his people in anointed singing, which is different than just a reaction where you're singing, making a platoon as you're going. But there is something where the Lord will, just like prophecy, that he will sing to you his songs, which is at a much higher level, in a different level. And we'll do it even in a ministry, music ministry of the whole congregation, which is called the heavenly choir, when he's actually singing to the people, as opposed to the people all singing, quote, under the Spirit, that is, themselves making up the tune and going along. There's a difference, in my judgment, in what's normally called dancing in the Spirit, which is nothing but a reaction of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and the person is dancing a jig. And, you know, it can be anything from 1 foot, 2 feet, this way, backwards, frontwards, turning around, anything. They're just a reaction. The Spirit of God comes upon them. And as I mentioned before, you know, the first thing that happens when you begin to feel God is the easiest tongue to move is the muscle to move is the tongue. And you begin to praise him and use the tongue and say things. But then as it becomes more, you want to clap. And as it becomes more, you want to tap your foot and then move the leg, the bigger muscle. And as soon as it becomes enough on you, you have got to move the entire body. And you dance a jig. But there is another place where a different kind of dance would take place that I would acknowledge, where a person is graceful. And I mean, he is moving under the Spirit in a realm where the Spirit is moving him. And he's just not dancing a jig as a reaction. There is a ministry where he is ministering and moving. And this is nothing that you can program on Wednesday night music ministries. There are some ministries under the Spirit, but other than that, they're normally reactions, which means it's not God doing it at all. It's man doing it. Now, I'm not going to preach my sermon over again, but I just want to explain, to copy manifestations of the Spirit is about as silly and foolish as copying the manifestation of eating ice cream. And so when you eat ice cream, and it's delicious, and you haven't had any ice cream in your whole life, we'll say, or for the first time, or for a long time, this is good. But you see, it isn't the that's important. It is the taste that's important. So if you don't have an ice cream cone and you're around going, it's foolish. You can't get ice cream that way. And you're not really getting the taste of the ice cream. So if your Spirit is moving on you so much you can't contain it, and you're just dancing in the Spirit and so forth, it's the presence of the Spirit that's wonderful. You just can't hold still. Now, if the Spirit is not on you, and you're doing this, you can't get the Spirit that way. You can't wind it up. There's no way. You don't feel any good because you're moving around. It doesn't do anything. It's even a poor counterfeit. It's like a $3 bill with Mickey Mouse on it. You can tell the difference immediately. And so to copy manifestations is really foolish. And so if God moved a certain way on you and you reacted a certain way, next night you try to get God by doing that, it's foolish because that isn't how you got God the first time, was by doing it. It was a reaction. It was the second thing, not the first thing. And so if you want God to move, you just love him and praise him and receive him. And then, however you react, you react. And it's important that we get this matter straight. And once you understand that reactions are normal, there's no way that you, being an earthbound creature, are going to come in contact with the Spirit of the living God and not react. You're an emotional being. There's things you've never, and you're experiencing things happening inside. And when you understand that God is setting you free, cutting out the things, just removing these demons that have embedded themselves in you, and you've given yourselves over to them, he's changing your life. You see, all of a sudden you're becoming free in the Spirit, uninhibited. Your life is changing. The revelation shows you that the devil is defeated. Your turn has come for the reign. I mean, there's no way that you're not going to just to give vent to that. Because if you don't give vent to that, it wouldn't make sense to be emotional about anything in the whole world. This is the most important thing of all. And so when that happens, this is why you see people so staid and so proper, they wouldn't dare do that. But when under the power of the Spirit, it's so marvelous that they lose all the inhibitions. They don't care what people think anymore. This is too much more important. So they just throw away, and so then they do things. Now, when you look at those things, as Keith said, some of them seem strange. Some of them interrupt the service. They're not all beautiful things. That's what people say, oh, no, not this. I mean, that's a natural reaction. I don't like manifestations by themselves. It's a but manifestations are normal. And you have to accept them with a revival because God's doing something. But what you're seeing is not what God's doing. You can't see what God's doing. All you're seeing is what man's doing. What you're seeing is man's reaction to the Spirit. And man's reaction to the Spirit is not necessarily beautiful, excepting as you can interpret it and know that God is doing something inside. You see, the old Pentecostal can walk by somebody laying on the floor, and he smiles with that wise smile, says, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Well, the Anglican, who's not filled with the Spirit, not born again even perhaps, because many of them are not, many some of them are, or the Lutheran or Methodist or whatever, I'm not picking any one denomination, he might walk by, and he didn't see anything to praise the Lord about, because he hasn't been there. He doesn't know what's happening inside. From the outside, there's nothing there that is appealing. Excepting if you've experienced it, you know what's happening, then you're thankful for the thing, and then you can praise the Lord. Otherwise, there's nothing to praise the Lord for. Now, you see, there's nothing beautiful about it. It's not a lovely show. You just think that we're going to put on this lovely big show. It's not a lovely thing. It's not that beautiful. Because people don't know how to respond. And sometimes they do some silly things even, some foolish things, and sometimes a little bit wild things. They just don't, you know, everybody is not beautifully coordinated. And they don't know how to move beautifully. All they know is God's on them and they can't stand it. They either fall, they can't stand up, or they're just so excited they move or something. Now, there is a time when God will come and begin to move on a person in ministry, and then it's beautiful. And then, I mean, it's got coordination plus. I mean, it has got balance. People just can dance through a whole line of people, eyes shut, back was turning, and never hit a soul up, and never had their eyes open, and then the beautiful, most lovely, they would never be able to do anything like that on their own, which is different than most manifestations. So I just wanted to explain that. And I feel that the bottom line of all this is in the scriptures we see that when man comes in contact with God, even when the angels, they fell prostrate on the face, the angel Gabriel took Daniel and set him on his hands and his knees. You know, I mean, that wasn't kind of a strange position. When you're in front of God, you've got a power there that you just can't stand up against. And when God does something, you're going to somehow express it. And the most important thing, I think, to getting God is to give up our Isaacs on Mount Moriah and accept God's love and accept your position in God. Accept the blood of Christ and not allow frantic and feel. Because when you get frantic, there's not faith working. See, the legalist doesn't like it. The legalist doesn't like to have people say, well, you don't have to do anything, but I mean, he'll just take you right where you are and he'll just change you. They don't like that because they have got it all worked out that you have got to beat your flesh under. You have got to strive. You've got to be the obedient one. In fact, it disturbs them to see God moving on people who are not walking perfectly. It bothers their theology because they've got it worked out that God works from the top down according to those who are the most perfect and have lived the cleanest life. But revival will prove the legalist wrong every time. And let me say this in closing.
Beloved children, my spirit is is in your midst, and lo, I am working within your hearts, for I do desire to release you and to set your spirits free to worship and praise me and to receive from your God in ways that you have thus far not experienced. And I am very much aware of every hindrance in your life, and I do see the cause and the reasons why you are bound in areas. Oh, but my little ones, I would have you to take heart this morning, for the hour has come when your God shall go forth to mightily avenge all that would stand in your way of receiving from your God. Oh, my Spirit is released upon you to set you free and to do many marvelous, mighty works within your soul. Take heart, I say unto thee, for my authority has gone forth, and I have released my angels to hold back the forces of the evil one that would war against your soul, and there is nothing that shall stand in the way of your Almighty God performing that which he desires to do in you. All you need to do is release your spirits unto your God and trust in the work of my Almighty Spirit, for I shall surely perform that good work in you. I shall heal every hurt. I shall erase every scar. I shall bind up the wounds and cause you to be made whole. I will not bypass one single vessel that is open unto the moving of my Spirit. I have taken authority over all the designs of the enemy, and the time has come for me to release my children unto me, that you might receive bountifully of my love and my joy and all the attributes that your God contains. Therefore, rejoice in your God, for my spirit has gone forth, and you shall be delivered of all your bondage, saith your Almighty King and Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord right now wants to do a healing work in marriages. And so if you need your inner relationship between your husband and wife healed, won't you join hands with your partner right now? God wants to reach down and do a healing work in marriages. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.